back to Matt Flynn, director on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. And happy Devil Radio Day, September 27, 927, 92.7. We're going to the lines. Take you in order. First, Bill of Shorewood, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Bill of Shorewood?
Good morning, Matt. A couple things about the cost of infrastructure. First of all, these are going to be spread over 10 years. So we should divide all these numbers by 10. For example, the $1 trillion hard infrastructure bill is $1 trillion, but $100 billion per year. That is less than one half of 1% of an annual national income. The $3.5 trillion bill, the larger bill, is $350 billion, a little over 1.5% of 1 year's national income. These are not large expenditures. These are things that we have to do because these assets are deteriorating. The second point is what we're getting for this expenditure are what are called long-lived public sector productive assets. They're assets. So we're not becoming poorer. We're becoming richer when we invest in them, very much like a home mortgage where you buy a house and you get to live in it and sell it later, and it makes you wealthier even though you have a monthly payment to make. Thank you, Matt.
Those are, I could not say that better myself, and I'm not even going to try to. You absolutely nailed it. The expenditure is not the amount that people think. It is over 10 years, maybe even 11 years. It also, number two, is a very, very small amount each year of our national income. And number three, it's not like we're just spending it and wasting it. When you educate people to that degree, you provide health care and you provide child care so the kids aren't abused and moms can work. That is that's an asset. That is not a liability. It's an asset. And remember something else. These same arguments by the Republicans to stick a knife in this were used to try to stop Social Security. They did it to stop Medicare. They did it to stop Medicaid. And we have a civilized, prosperous society now. If the Republicans had been in power for the last 100 years, we would have been a diminished world power, nowhere near our prosperity. Keep all that in mind. We're going back to the lines. Pizza Box Mike, my co-host, my friend. Thank you for filling in for me for a week. Pizza Box Mike, what's on your mind today, my friend?
Well, thanks again for the opportunity. Hey, I don't know if you saw what's happening in Arizona. It's kind of ironic that we've had a confidence on the vote of the presidential election after Maricopa County, but the Arizona Democrats are ready to do a vote of no confidence on Sinema. That's how you get it done.
Yeah, I did see that. We talked about it a little bit earlier. The Democrats in Arizona are pretty angry. And Sinema, you know, I've never met her, and I've always felt, you know, inclined to support her and do certainly over Republican. But, you know, she and Manchin are gumming up the works. Right now, all they would have to do, they don't have to suspend the filibuster for everything forever. All they have to do is suspend the filibuster for one or two individual votes. For instance, voting rights, HR 1 and SB 1, get rid of gerrymandering, federalize. It should be federalized elections. It's for president, for Pete's sake. It's for president. And make sure that there can be mail-in voting. There isn't any crooked stuff at the polls. That's all. And then number two, on infrastructure. On infrastructure, we already did it. I mean, we've passed the hard infrastructure in the Senate, the soft one. Just vote for it. Vote for it. Sinema doesn't know any economics whatsoever. She's just trying to pander to the right wing in Arizona. And Pizza Box, I got to tell you something. The right wing can never be pandered to by a Democrat. The more you pander to them, they're going to want a real Trumper. And the more you pretend to be a Trumper, they'll laugh at you. They'll screw up the Democratic agenda, and then they'll get themselves a real Trumper. All she's doing is making it impossible for herself to be reelected. The Arizona Democratic Party is about to vote no confidence in her. She has got to come correct with some respect. She's got to open her eyes and say, look, I will vote Democratic. And Manchin's got to do the same thing. He's a little slyer about it, but Manchin has got to do the same thing. Peacebox, thanks a lot for calling in. We're going to get back to some other issues to the state. This is an extremely sly and sneaky thing that the Republicans are doing. And you gasp and say, what? I didn't suspect. Well, suspect away, because here's what they are doing. They now say they are going to vote on some of Evers' appointments, which in one case is almost 3 years old. 3 years old. Evers was elected in November of 18. And when he was sworn in 19, he started to appoint cabinet. And this January, it'll be a 3-year appointment, and they haven't done it. Well, one of them is Craig Thompson, the Secretary of the Treasury. The other one is Dawn Krim, and that's the Department of Safety and so forth. And then there are 7 others that have not been confirmed. 7 total, rather, have not been confirmed, and they're not even going to vote on some of the others. Why are they doing this? How is that part of their sneaky deal? Because if the Senate does not vote to confirm, for instance, cabinet member, technically that cabinet member is not a member of the cabinet, and yet the governor needs a cabinet to govern. So what he does is he appoints them as acting, pays them the salary. They can do everything just the way they would as cabinet members, but they are very uncertain. It demoralizes them, and some of them quit, and this has happened with in this particular case. Before they started to do this with Evers, in memory, and some journalists have said they don't ever remember, nor do I, a time when the Senate failed to confirm a gubernatorial appointment to a cabinet. It might be the other party, but if that's who he wants, blah, 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 and they all got confirmed. Well, in this case, if they want to hurt the Democrats, then they say, okay, we'll vote to confirm them. We'll hold a vote, rather. They hold a vote, and then they don't confirm him. The law then is he can't serve as acting. He's got to vamoose. He's got to make himself scarce. They did that with Brian Paff. He was the agriculture secretary and a great one. They knew that agriculture is a very important issue, especially in rural Wisconsin. So they knifed him. They stuck a knife in him, thinking that would hurt. Yeah, Luke, you're lurking at the phone. What do you have to say, my friend?
Yeah, just a heads up. That's Brad Paff, not Brian Paff.
Oh, Brad Paff. I beg your pardon. Yeah, Brad Paff. If I said Brian, yeah, Brad Paff. So they knifed him. He went on to run for the state Senate, and he held the line so they don't have a veto-proof majority. He's an excellent guy. I frankly hope he runs for Congress over there, for Ron Kind's seat. He used to be a staffer for Kind. Very good guy. But I'm deeply suspicious. What if they say, okay, we'll vote on Craig Thompson, Dawn Krim, and then stick a knife in them too. Now, maybe they won't. Who knows? But the point is, they're doing this, but on some of them, they have this guy, Fred Prehn of the DNR, Mr. Forever Chemicals. His term expired in May, and they won't vote. They won't do a vote on Evers' replacement. So technically, they say under the law, which is about 40 years old under a different statute, Prehn stays there, and Republican judges say, yeah. And he can say, we need Forever Chemicals in our water, and we need to shoot more pregnant wolves, so that out-of-state hunting parties can come in and shoot pregnant wolves out of season. That is what is happening. Folks, that is what is happening. Going to break. Line's still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.